We turn in God's Word this morning to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, we read this in connection with our consideration of the fifth commandment of God's law, which is the command to honor father and mother. We read in Proverbs 7, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Thus far, we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage and many other passages of Scripture that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 39. You can find that on page 22 in the back of your Psalter. This is the Catechism's explanation of the fifth commandment. The Catechism asks there, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Let's now ask God's blessing on the preaching and prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, thou hast told us in thy word that thy word will always accomplish its purpose and it will not return unto thee void. And that's our prayer this morning too, that thy word would not return unto thee void. For thy word is living and it's powerful and it always accomplishes thy purpose as that two-edged sword. We pray that that would take place here this morning. Pray that thou will bless the word to us in our homes, especially to the children and young people of the church, that they would hear this word and obey it by obeying their parents. But wilt thou use this word also to be a blessing to parents, to encourage them in the calling they have to teach their children in this commandment, to teach them to obey them because they are to be taught to obey thee, their God. So, Father, use the word, bless it. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The fifth commandment of God's law is the fundamental command that God has given for our covenant homes. What that means is that this is the command, the outstanding command for how we are to live in our homes, and especially how we are to live in the relationship between parents and children. And that means also then for us that this is a command that ought to be obeyed in our homes. This doesn't mean that the other commands don't apply to our homes. They certainly do. But this command of God's law, the fifth commandment, is focused on our covenant homes. It's an important word for the children and young people of the church and in the home. It's a command for all of us, as we all have parents that we are called to honor and obey, but especially it's important for the children and young people of the church. This is a command that God has given specifically for you, which shows God's love for you, which shows the instruction that He gives to you. And now He says to you, children and young people, this is how you're to live in your home with your parents. You are to honor them and obey them. But also, this is an important command for us as parents. God has given us as parents this command to use as we teach our children. And one of the vital things that we are to teach our children is their calling to obey us. Not for our sakes, not because we want them to do everything that we say, but because this is the way they learn to obey their Father in heaven. And so this command is given to us as parents to use in teaching our children, our young people, that they are to obey their Heavenly Father in all of life. And because that's important for us as parents to teach that, we must be examples of that, and that's why it's important for the entire church. That those who go before these children and young people would be examples to them of what it means to live in submission to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. It's important that we hear this command then for our covenant homes. It's important for two reasons. The first is, we live in a world that regards honoring parents and authority as folly. In our culture, there is a general lack of respect for parents and then also of the elderly. Parents and the elderly in our world are viewed as out of date, strange, or to be ignored because the youth is where it's at. Being young is where it's at. That's our culture today. And the elderly then are ignored in our day. And that ought not to be. That's not scriptural. In fact, what we read in Proverbs 7 is that parents teach and they give wisdom to their children, and children are to listen to that. Because the wisdom that godly parents bring is the wisdom of the Word of God. In addition, it's considered normal in our society that children and young people rebel against their parents. Well, we ought not to accept that as the norm in our covenant homes, rebellion and disobedience of parents. It should not be accepted in our homes that our children argue like Philadelphia lawyers against their parents. The conduct of our homes ought to be very different. That's what this commandment says to us in regard to our homes this morning. We ought to be governed by this in our homes. That children and young people honor father and mother, and parents in the home, they even honor their parents who brought them up and instructed them in the truth of God's Word. In the end, this commandment's important for us because it reminds us that we have one authority in our lives, and that authority is God. We must go beyond the horizontal view of things this morning. This command's not just about parents and children. It's about our relationship with God. And that God Himself wrote this commandment. God Himself spoke this commandment. And God Himself speaks to us today and says to us, this is how we are to live our lives. We are to place ourselves under the authority of Almighty God as His people. And how we view the authority that God has placed over us in our lives says something about how we view God himself. Always we have to keep that in mind this morning, our relationship with God as we look at this fifth commandment. So we keep that in mind this morning as we consider the covenant command for children. The covenant command for children. We look first at the covenant basis, secondly at the essential or fundamental command, and then finally at the encouraging promise. The basis of this commandment is God's covenant. Now that's true of all the commandments. It's true of all the commandments because of the introduction to the law. The very beginning of the law is not a commandment, but the beginning of the law is God saying to his people, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Those are covenant words. We've seen that before. In those words, God is speaking to us about a relationship to him, that we have a relationship of love and friendship with him because he has brought us into that relationship. That's what the covenant is. The covenant is the bond of friendship that God establishes with his elect people in Jesus Christ. The covenant is that relationship of friendship we have with God only because God has brought us into that living relationship of friendship with him. Now there are two things about God's covenant that are brought out in this fifth commandment. The first is this. God's covenant is a family covenant. And there we see how the fifth commandment specifically is related to God's covenant. God's covenant is a family covenant. This is what's behind the fifth commandment, as children are called to honor their parents. This is why in our church we emphasize family. Why it is that families sit together in church and we don't have a separate church service for our children. No, we worship together as families. It's because God's covenant is a family covenant. And we emphasize the importance of family worship and families being together in the home and enjoying fellowship together in the home. It's because God's covenant is a family covenant. That's part of the being of God himself. He's a family God within himself as the triune God. He's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. There's family built right into the very being and essence of God. Not only that, but when we go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, and we see what God created on the sixth day, he created Adam and Eve. He created in the very beginning a family. And then he commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. And they did. God gave them children. And we see in the very beginning that God established a family. And God continues to do that. He establishes family. And we are all part of a family. We all are. We have parents. Many of us have siblings. There's much sin and dysfunction in families. There's no doubt about that as well. But God has given to us each a family, and we understand what family is about. And this morning we see that too, as we see how God has added to three families in the church children that he has given. But as we keep in mind this idea of the family covenant, we must see something higher than the families that we know and experience here on this earth. But every one of us, as God's people, is part of the family of God. That's what we have to keep before our minds this morning. We're part of the family of God because of adoption. And how wonderful it is to be part of the family of God. Although there's sin and dysfunction among the brothers and sisters in that family because of our sinful natures, yet we have a Father who's free from all of that. We have a perfect Father. That's why it's so wonderful to be part of this family. We see this morning we don't deserve to be part of that family. That we're part of the family is a gift of God's grace. He's chosen us to be part of that family. He's bought us. He's adopted us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which makes us part of that family. And in this family life, we experience the love and the friendship and the blessing of God himself. And that's why there's no better family to be a part of. God's covenant is a family covenant. The second truth about God's covenant that comes out of the fifth commandment is that children are included in this covenant. Children are part of God's covenant. That's why it is that we baptize children this morning. We believe that children are part of the church and the covenant of God. That's based on the passages of Scripture that we were pointed out in the baptism form. It's based on Genesis 17, verse 7, that promise in the Old Testament that God establishes His covenant in the line of generations. And Acts 2, verse 39 in the New Testament goes along with that. That's evident from Mark chapter 10. When, remember, the disciples wanted to send away those parents who brought their children to Jesus, saying, He didn't have time for all of that. But Jesus rebuked them. And then Jesus held some of those children, and He blessed those children, showing that children are part of the church and the covenant of God. It's important that we understand that rightly this morning. There, of course, are many who don't believe that children are part of the covenant of God, and they show that by not administering baptism to infants. But also, there are those who, even though they administer baptism to infants, have a wrong understanding of that. And they say that all the children that are born into the church are part of God's covenant, that all of them receive the blessing of God within that covenant. But whether or not they receive those blessings from God is up to them. When they're older, that's part of the conditional covenant. That they have to do something when they're older. They have to believe in Christ when they're older. And only then do they receive the blessings that God promised in His covenant. Now, we understand that children are included in the covenant of God, but not all children who are born in the church. This is governed by election, as we read in Romans 9. When God said that He loved Jacob and hated Esau, we believe then that God is the one who determines who is in this covenant, but children are included in the covenant and the church of God. And that's what we keep in mind as parents as we teach our children. We teach our children in the same way in which God gives this fifth commandment. He gave it to the people of Israel. Not everyone in Israel was one of His children. But He said, this is what you must do. And that was based on what He said at the beginning. I am the Lord thy God. That doesn't mean everyone was. He looked at the whole and at the many who were His people and taught them in that way. And that's the way we do it as parents too. In the light of the way God does in the fifth commandment. We teach our children that way. Teaching them in such a way that we believe that they are children of God, unless they would show differently. And so we teach them how they are to live before the face of God, that they're to repent of their sins, they're to obey the Word of God and believe in Jesus Christ. We as parents expect that our children will live as children of God, and we set that before our children, that expectation that is how they live. Now, these are the two truths of the covenant that come out of this fifth commandment. The covenant is a family covenant, and children are included in that covenant. Now, we see as well this morning that the structure of the home, the covenant home, is that God has ordained that parents teach their children in a position of authority. Children, you have to understand that. Young people, you have to understand that. This is the way God has ordained it. God has ordained that there are parents who are over you. It's not your parents who have put themselves in that position. It's God who has put them in that position of authority over you to teach you in the way of wisdom. That's what we read in Proverbs 7 this morning. We have that from the perspective of a godly father who's teaching his son. A godly father who understands he's been put in a position of authority and that he's to teach his children who have been put under that authority. That's what you have in almost all the book of Proverbs. A father teaching his son the way of wisdom. A covenant father, a godly father, teaching the children that God has given to him in the ways of God. And so he says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. And the father says that not because he wants his son just to obey the laws that he has made. But this father, Solomon, was saying to his son, keep God's laws. Keep God's laws. That's the position that God has given to us as parents. To speak to our children and to say to them in all of life, you must obey God's laws. You must obey His commandments. Children and young people and all of us who have parents. God says to us this morning, that's why God has put parents over us. He's put those over us, those ones in whom God has worked by His grace, who have become more mature and wiser spiritually because of God's work in them, to teach us as children and young people in the ways of God. Kids and young people and all of us, we must see that parents are a gift from God. They're not perfect. My Hilbert Catechism points that out to us. Everything that they do is stained with sin. They have the same human nature that children have. We all are sinners. What qualifies us as parents to do our work is not that we're perfect. And what qualifies your parents, children and young people, is not that they're perfect. They are not. But God has put them in this position of authority, and they're gifts from God to you. So remember that. Remember that in your nightly prayers. Thank God every day for the parents that God has given to you. That's one way to remember the position that God has put them in. But this truth of the covenant also tells us what kind of relationship that there should be between parents and children in the home. Right away we might think, well, because parents are in a position of authority, they're the ones who are to be the enforcers in the home. They're to rule with an iron fist. It's my way or the highway. No, that's not the case. Yes, they set the rules for the home and the laws for the home, and they demand that those laws are obeyed, and if they're not obeyed, there are consequences, and discipline must be administered as well. But we remember that's not all that there is to the relationship between parents and children. God's truth of the covenant tells us that the relationship between parents and children ought to be one of friendship. Now, not equals. God puts parents over children. But yet there ought to be love and friendship between parents and children. Parents may not be bullies. They may not take out their anger or frustrations on their children. But instead, parents are called to reflect the mercy and the love and the grace of God that they have experienced in their relationship with their Heavenly Father. And they want that then to be found in their homes, that there's a relationship of friendship. Yes, there's authority. There's consequences for disobedience. But also there's an enjoyment of fellowship and love between parents and children. Is that found in our homes? As we're beginning our homes, some of us, is that our goal? Is that our aim? That there would be that love and friendship in our homes. That's what there ought to be in our covenant homes. But now, keeping that in mind, out of this flows the essential or fundamental command for our covenant homes. And that command is this: honor thy father and thy mother. That essentially is what Solomon is setting before his own son as he teaches him. That's the big picture there in Proverbs 7. As Solomon speaks to his son and says, follow my laws and commandments, he's saying follow God's laws and commandments. And essentially he's saying that the son must honor him and obey him. That's what we find in the fifth commandment itself, honor thy father and thy mother. That's what you find later on in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 22. We read there, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Children and young people, God calls you to honor your parents. That's how you are to live in relationship to them. Now, what exactly does that mean? Does honoring your parents mean simply obey them? Well, let's put that to the test. Let's use an example to test that a moment. Say that mom comes to you when you get home from church this morning and she says to you, I'd like you to set the table. And you respond to that even before the last word is out of her mouth with, oh, why do I always have to do it? While you're saying that and while you're sighing, you're going to the cupboard and you're pulling the plates out. You're pulling the glasses out. You get the silverware out of the drawer. And your shoulders are shrugged and you go doing it, grumbling and mumbling along the way. Have you obeyed mom then? And the answer is no. You may be doing what she told you to do by setting the table, but you're not doing it in the right way, so that is not obedience. We want to understand this morning what obedience is for all of us. For all of us in relationship to our parents. For children, young people. What is obedience? Well, there are four words that I'd like us to remember this morning to teach us what obedience is. We're told what obedience is, we're told not what obedience is, but what it means to honor your parents in the fifth commandment itself. What does it mean to honor? Well, the first word we want to remember is respect. Respect. God says you are to respect your parents. You're to show reverence even to your parents. Why is that? Well, because the relationship between parent and child is to reflect the relationship between God and His children. And what does God say to us about a relationship with Him? That we are to fear Him. That we are to worship Him and live before His face with reverence and in awe of Him as well. We're called to respect Him as the God of heaven and earth. And so that means for children and young people that they are called to respect their parents and honor their parents as the ones whom God has placed over them. You see, this has to do with your attitude. What's your attitude towards your parents? Well, the first we see that your attitude must be that you respect them. Along with that attitude of respect is an attitude of submission. That's the second word. First, respect. Secondly, submission or submitting. Honoring your parents means submitting to your parents. What does that mean? Well, that means that we have to willingly place ourselves under mom and dad. Go back to our example. Part of the problem of the child at that moment who's sighing and groaning about having to set the table is that they don't want to place themselves under the authority of that parent at that time, but instead what that child wants is his own authority. I want to be the boss of me. I don't want anybody else telling me what to do. That's not submission. Submission is willingly placing oneself under the God-given authority of one's parent. And because I'm under that authority, I must obey. So respect first, submission second. The third word is love. You see that these first three words have to do with our hearts. We as children are called to love our parents. That makes sense here too. The fifth commandment of God's law is the first commandment of the second table of the law. The second table of the law has to do with loving the neighbor. The fifth commandment is the first commandment of that second table, that calling to love the neighbor. The child's closest neighbor is his or her parents. So it means then that obedience to the fifth commandment is a calling for children to love their parents. What is love? Kids, young people, what does it mean that you are to love your parents? If I were talking to you one-on-one, it probably wouldn't be such an easy question to answer. Maybe we think of love this way. Because mom and dad do things for me, I should do things for them. They give me clothing and they give me food and they give me shelter. And maybe sometimes they remind you of those things. Therefore, I should be thankful for those things and do what they say. Well, that's not really love. Or maybe you're really thankful for them because they took you away for spring break. Or maybe others aren't so thankful because their parents didn't take them away for spring break. But that's not the idea of love. Love is not about what I've gotten from others and then I'm going to repay them for what they've done. No, that's not love. We have to love them with the love of God. That means there's a desire to serve them, to obey them with the love of Jesus Christ. What's the love of Jesus Christ? He gave himself. It's self-sacrifice. And that is how we're to love our parents, self-sacrificially. Maybe we don't think their demands are just or right even, but still I love them, and because I love them, I'm going to obey them. So that's our fourth word. First, there was respect. Secondly, submission. Third, love. And the fourth word that teaches us what it means to honor our parents is obey. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience. And obedience is this. It's obeying right away what you're told to do, without delay. But that's not all obedience is. It's doing it willingly and cheerfully. No sighs, no groans. Doing what they tell you to do cheerfully. It's not just the absence of the sighs and groans. Cheerfully, with a smile on your face, I'm willing to serve and do what mom and dad tell me to do. You see, true obedience is driven by that submission and love and honor. True obedience desires to do what's right before God, okay? It's not just about your mom and dad. It's about your relationship with God, children and young people. God says to you, you're to obey Him. And the way you obey Him is by obeying your parents. You see, obeying your parents is not just about pleasing them. It's not just getting out of punishment. It's not just another way to manipulate, being nice to them so that later on I can get what I want. That's wrong motivation for obedience. Our obedience in our homes must be motivated by loving God, giving thanks to Him for what He has done in Jesus Christ. That's not an easy thing to do. Honoring, loving, submitting to, and obeying your parents is not easy. It's not easy not because your parents are so sinful. That adds to it. That doesn't make it easy. But Satan would like to convince you, kids and young people, that the problem is your parents. That's part of the subtle deception of the enemy that we read of in Proverbs 7. The enemy is so subtle. Satan is so subtle. He'd like you to think that the problem is your parents and their unjust demands. The problem is not your parents. The problem is our sinful natures. The problem is the selfishness that lives within our hearts. The problem is I want my way. I want to be the boss. I want to rule my life. I don't want anybody else telling me what to do. Every one of you children and young people was born with that kind of a sinful nature where you don't want to be under the authority and the rule of someone else. I know that, and your parents know that, because we have the same human nature, that same sinful nature. We don't like to be told what to do in that sinful nature. That's why this is such a great battle, and you need to be aware of the enemy within you. And God calls you now to put that away. Don't live for yourself. Don't live out of your selfish desires, but live to serve Him. And do that in all the moments of your life in relationship with your parents. Consider this morning, children and young people, how do you respond to mom when she tells you to do something? How are you doing that regularly? Do you sigh? Do you groan? Do you roll your eyes? Do you argue like a Philadelphia lawyer? Do you beg for things from your parents? Do you ignore what mom says? Do you ignore what dad says? Do you make excuses for your disobedience? Children and young people, God speaks to you this morning and He says, honor your father and your mother. Respect them, submit to them, love them. Obey them. That's God's word to you. And I want to speak to those who are a little bit older, the older kids in the family, the older kids in the church, too, the young people of the church. God's put you in a special place. You're older to set an example for the younger. The question is, are you setting a good example? I've seen it many times in young people's society, just to give one example of that. I've seen it where the older ones in the young people's society, when they're active, when they're willing to give themselves for the good of the whole, that's catchy with the younger ones. They see that example. But I've seen it the other way too, when the older ones aren't so active, and they show disinterest in being there, that catches on with the younger ones too. You see, older ones, the younger ones are watching you. They see what you do. They see your attitude. And you have to be mindful of that. God's given you this place of responsibility in the age that you are to be an example to those who are younger. What are they learning from you? Not only is this an important word for the children of the church, but it's an important word for the parents and for the whole church too. Parents, we are reminded this morning we're called to teach our children this commandment. Honor father and mother. This is an essential part of the instruction that we give to our children. We must do that patiently and with the mercy of our Heavenly Father, not with red-faced rage, not with yelling and screaming at our children, because that's not the way that God our Father deals with us. He never flies off the handle with us. He's never impatient and never shouts in anger at us. As parents, we need to hear that too. But with patience and with the mercy of God, we must teach our children to honor authority. And one of the main ways in which we do that is by honoring the authorities that God has placed in our lives. I don't know if there's anything more instrumental in teaching our children that in our homes than a mother who honors and respects her husband. And she shows that in what she does. But if a mother's not doing that and then she calls her children to obey her and to submit to her, soon children are going to see that the two don't fit. That there's something that doesn't fit there. And they're going to follow the example rather than the word. Now, is it important that mothers respect their husbands? But it's important for a father, too, to love and honor his wife. Not because his wife is an authority over him, but because God calls him to do that. That's the example the father sets. Loving and honoring his wife, knowing that she's the weaker vessel, as we read in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Taking care of her, protecting her, being the type of man that God calls him to be. That's an example set for children in obedience to God himself. And we're called to honor all those in authority in our lives, the president and the police and the judges and employers and office bearers within the church as well. Our relationship to them and our submission to them is an example to our children. And that's why this is an important word for the entire church, as an example of this to the next generation within the church. But let's be encouraged this morning. We have a perfect example of such submissive and obedient living. That perfect example is our Lord Jesus Christ. He obeyed willingly and cheerfully in his life. He obeyed perfectly his mother Mary, even though she was sinful and he was not. In addition, though, we should see that our Savior Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed the will of his Heavenly Father. That's part of what we see in the cross. And that's where the cross fits in this morning too. We see in the cross of Jesus Christ the obedience of our Savior. He obeyed the will of God. He loved God and he loved us. And in the service of us, he went to the cross and died in obedience to God's will. What great love we see in our Lord Jesus Christ and the great example of obedience. He's the example that we are to follow. That means this morning our hope is found alone in Jesus Christ. That cross is our only hope. And the cross is found forgiveness. Every one of us, no matter how young or old, has disobeyed the fifth commandment of God's law. No matter how good we may make it look on the outside that we're doing what the authorities say, whether it's mom and dad or the civil authorities, God knows our hearts and the rebellion and selfishness that's found there. And the only answer to that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only power that there is to obey this command for you children and young people and for all of us is found in Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, as the Spirit works that power within us. May we pray for that working of the Holy Spirit within us. As we come to the end this morning, we see that there's encouragement for us to keep this command. The encouragement for us is the promise that's found as part of this commandment, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But before we see that encouraging promise, we must see as well that there is a warning of God in the Old Testament, a serious warning. Kids, young people, listen to this. According to God's law in the Old Testament, if a child disobeyed mom or dad and rebelled, they were to be stoned to death. That's how serious it is. We know that there are other offenses that resulted in that corporate punishment. That those who committed murder were to be stoned to death. But now God says in the Old Testament too, those who disobey mom and dad were to be stoned to death. It's that serious. Satan would tell us, it's not so serious to disobey. It's not a big deal. God's word says something else. It's a big deal. We should never think disobedience to parents is light or insignificant. We need to hear that warning of the word of God. But we must put that together as well with the promise that comes, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's a significant promise. That does not mean that if we obey this command, then we'll have a long life here on this earth. No, this is the command that, this is the promise that God gives to His church. It's not just for individuals, that if the individual obeys, then he will have long life. This is a promise that comes to the church. In the line of generations, all those who are God's people, and who show that by keeping His commandments. The land that's referred to there is not Canaan. It's not this earth. But instead it's the heavenly Canaan, the new heavens and the new earth. The promise here is the inheritance. The inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ, the new heavens and the new earth. And the idea here then is that in the way of obedience, there is the obtaining of this wonderful inheritance, life with God forever, as those who are part of the family of God. What a wonderful promise that is. But it's tied to the command. We must hear that this morning. The warning is serious. There are serious consequences if we're going to go our own way and depart from the laws and the commands of God. This is a warning against that rebelliousness. It's serious. The consequences are serious. And I've seen them too. Because the consequence is this. If we're going to depart from the way of God and rebel against authority that God has placed, we're rebelling against God Himself. And what happens is that sin of rebellion against authority gets passed down from one generation to the next. And the line is cut off. And there are not those in that family then who live in obedience to the Word of God. They won't live under the authority of God Himself. That's what they learned from their parents. The price is steep for disobedience to this law and commandment. But God is faithful. It's not that we can expect that we won't disobey this command. But what God does for His own is He brings us to repentance. And in the way of repentance, He brings us to the heavenly Canaan. The promise of this command is ours, that we will receive this inheritance, not because of our obedience, but because of the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit works in us a desire to obey this command, and when we don't, a true repentance. And we have the assurance as well that our Lord Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. Hearing that warning, hearing as well the beautiful promise, let us all turn from our rebellion Children and young people, hear this. Repent of your disobedience. Turn. Pray to God, confessing your sin. And pray to God, asking for grace to obey and to do what's right. May we pray that as parents for our children. May we pray to God for that for ourselves as well. We all need such prayers. And that way, may God bless us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are thankful for this word that thou hast given to us. We pray that thou will give us grace and strength to live it in our lives. Give strength to the children and young people of the church that they would obey their parents because they love thee and want to show gratitude to thee for all that thou hast done in Jesus Christ. And give us strength as parents and as a church to lead and guide our children and young people in this by being an example of it ourselves and calling them to obedience to this word and commandment. Hear our prayer and answer us. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.